Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind Original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Audacy podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Audacy app and wherever you get your podcasts.
What's going on, everybody, and good morning. Today is Thursday, January 30th, and this is your daily Go Birds morning update, giving you all the Eagles news you need to know, as well as what to keep an eye out for today. And this feels like, to me, the midpoint of like the Super Bowl excitement. They win the game on Sunday. Sunday's crazy. Monday's crazy. Tuesday, we're still reacting. Wednesday slows down a little bit. There's nothing going on with the Eagles. As I record this, I feel like this is the last moment where it is not going to be super exciting every single day, tons of things happening. Because starting today, and I'm recording this on a Wednesday in case you haven't figured that out yet from listening to the Daily Pods, but starting today, Thursday, we're going to get Eagles things every single day from here on out. We get Eagles availability today, which means we're going to hear from players. We get Eagles availability on Friday. We'll hear from players. Saturday, we should, I believe, hear from, I think maybe Nick Sirianni, maybe. I will see if he'll talk. I'm not sure. And then players. And then Sunday, they fly to New Orleans. We get the plane landing in New Orleans. And then Monday, it all kicks off and the craziness begins. So if you feel like you've needed a deep breath from all this, you know, just the craziness, the planning, the excitement, purchasing, all types of stuff, now might be a good time to do it. Take a deep breath in through the nose, out through the mouth. Let's have a nice relaxing pod today because after this, it gets crazy. So let's start with what is on the schedule for today. As I said, we are going to hear from the Eagles today. They'll be back at the facility. They essentially ended up just pushing everything a day back. So instead of doing Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, they're doing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, leave on Sunday. So I'm not sure who we'll hear from today or the timing yet, to be honest, and they change it so much. It really, me telling you the time at this point doesn't really matter. Although I do have the schedule for next week in New Orleans, and that they'll stick to. So next week, you'll know when they're going to talk. But as for today, I would just keep an eye out on your phone for press conferences. There'll be players at the podium. I would guess we might get Jalen today. AJ, Saquon, Devontae, all the big players are going to be talking over the next few days. Then we'll have the open locker room as well. So yeah, going to be an exciting day today. It'd be good to hear from the players for kind of the first time. Obviously, I got to talk to Brandon and Cooper DeJean at the Players Lounge and the BG show. But outside of that, we haven't really heard about what these last few days have been like for them, the reality of going back to the Super Bowl. So that's what's on the schedule for today. Hearing from the players for the first time since they won the NFC Championship. Next up, injury report. Today could also be a day where we get maybe our first look at it. I don't think they have to put out an injury report today. So my guess is we'll just get like a hopefully Landon and Cam talk. And if they talk, they'll probably say they're going to play. So if you hear from Cam and Landon today, I would expect to hear good news, but no update yet on either of them, other than mostly everybody, including myself, seems to expect them to play despite dealing with injuries. Cam Jurgens is dealing with a back injury. Landon Dickerson is dealing with that knee injury, but I would expect both to be out there on Super Bowl Sunday against the Chiefs. So let's dive into some of the news from today. And let's start with what is really probably the most newsworthy thing that's happened in the first and the last 24 hours with the team is that it looks like they're going to be losing Kellen Moore to the New Orleans Saints. Now, it's not a definite. They can't hire him until it's over, but they were in Philadelphia on Monday interviewing Kellen Moore. According to one report, that interview went well late into the night. And it's just a number of other things that have happened. Mike McCarthy drops out of the race. And so at that point, they're not hiring Cliff Kingsbury. He's not taking a job. Mike McCarthy dropped out. And so all the insiders are saying that it's going to be Kellen Moore. Jordan Schultz of Fox Sports called Moore the leader in the clubhouse. Mike Garofalo of NFL Network said Moore is the most likely next head coach in New Orleans. And then Adam Schefter called Moore the lead candidate. So at this point, anything is possible. Until it's done, it's not done. But it really looks like Kellen Moore is going to be heading to the New Orleans Saints. So, you know, it's I talked about it briefly on the pod with James, the Daily Pod, on Wednesday, and I don't really feel like I phrased how I feel about it perfectly. Like, I don't think losing Kellen Moore is a death blow to next season. I don't think he's irreplaceable. But let's not, like, gloss over the fact that Kellen Moore was a really good hire as an offensive coordinator. He had a great combination of experience and youth. He had called plays for a long time. He had a really impressive resume of his offense consistently putting up points. He's come in here, and the offense has been good. If you wanted to paint an argument where he didn't do a great job, you could say they basically just ran the ball all year and the passing offense never really took off. But I don't find that to be the case. Like, I think when they had to pass the ball this year, they were able to do it. I think Kellen Moore and Nick did a great job building an offense around this skill set, with Saquon's skill set and Jalen Hurts' skill set. So losing Kellen Moore is definitely not no big deal. But I think that Nick's involvement in the offense has been understated all year. I think he's still very involved in the offense. Jalen Hurts, very involved in the way that it's built around him. He picks what plays he likes. He audibles at the line. He checks into plays. So I think what you're losing in Kellen Moore is just continuity and a sharp football mind. So they'll be able to find another sharp football mind. And we'll talk on the other side of the commercials about some potential replacements for Moore. Probably a little early to do it, but this is what I like to do. So we'll talk about that on the other side. But I do think losing Kellen Moore is not great. Like, you would have been able to potentially bring back all three coordinators, assuming Vic Fangio doesn't retire and assuming Michael Clay doesn't get a job elsewhere. You're going to be able to bring back all three coordinators for the first time since 2021 into 2022. I don't think losing only Kellen means they won't be good next year. It's like a huge adjustment. It'll be tough, and it definitely sucks for Jalen. It'll be, what, his fifth offensive coordinator? Because he had Doug, if you want to include Doug, his rookie year, which I think you should. Doug his rookie year, Steichen, then he had Brian Johnson, then he had Kellen, and now he'll have his new one. So yeah, five years essentially as the Eagles quarterback. So maybe it won't happen, but it really looks like Kellen Moore will be heading to the New Orleans Saints. So outside of that, we did hear from Nick Sirianni on Wednesday, not at the podium or anything, but he was on the number one sports really outlet in the city, 94 WIP. And I thought they got some really good questions out of him. Shout out to Jody Cameron, the morning show. I thought they got good questions out of Nick. So the first one was, I thought his answer to this was really good. The question was, you know, how do you teach toughness? And there was a phrase in there that really stuck with me. So here's Sirianni on WIP talking about how he teaches toughness.
Is this team tougher than last year's team? How do you teach toughness to a team?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it starts with having tough guys, right? And we have tough guys, right? And that's first and foremost. But I think you get what you emphasize as a coach. And we constantly, like, we look at toughness in three parts. We look at mental toughness, we look at physical toughness, and we look at relentless effort, which is a form of toughness. And so you were constantly trying to point those things out. Hey, watch the physical toughness of this block combination to the linebacker, and we'll show that in the team meeting. Then we'll show something like, hey, look at this first drive of what happened. We went three and out in this first drive, but look how we responded. Look at this mental toughness of this team, or you know, a defensive back gave up a play, and look how he responds with this PBU in a critical moment. That's mental toughness. And we're constantly showing our guys run with relentless effort to the football, or doing the selfless things with, you know, relentless effort. And so you just keep showing them over and over again. I think the a cool quote that I heard was, the burden of leadership is repetition. Like, you just keep going over it and over it and over it and over it and over it. And like, coach, I can't do it. And you keep going over it and over it and over and over it. And you just keep, and you just keep doing that. And, but I think, you know, you enhance that by what you do there. But at the end of the day, and at the start of the day, or however you want to say it, it starts with the players and their mentality and their mindset and their toughness,
yeah,
you know, of that.
So the line I love in there from Nick is, you get what you emphasize as a head coach. And I think that this team is such a reflection of that. We've talked about this a ton on the pod, but like, they are not a scheme, like smoke and mirrors kind of team. Like, they're just not. That's not what Nick cares about, really. Like, they are what Nick emphasizes. And it sounds corny to say, but it is true. Like, it's what Nick puts on the shirt. Tough detail together. Like, Nick really emphasizes details. Time and time again, you hear players talk about the teach tape. He even talked about it again today. Now, I know he's not a player, but he talked about it in the interview again. You know, how they, and they said it right there, how he shows clips of guys being tough, and they emphasize it, and it makes players want to be tough. So they're that. Like, they are a team of what Nick has emphasized. They're together, they're detailed, and I think the toughness thing can't be overstated. They were not a tough team last year. I think they were... They showed more mental toughness, I think, than some people want to say, because they did get out to the 10-1 start. It's really hard to go back to the Super Bowl after losing the Super Bowl. It's really hard to get to the playoffs after losing the Super Bowl. So last year wasn't the complete disaster people make it out to be. But obviously, down the stretch, they faltered. And Jeffrey Lurie used the word resiliency at the owners' meetings when talking about kind of what the team lacked. And I think, in classic Eagles fashion, like, very overcorrecting in a positive way, they have clearly... Sorry. It's been a while since a yawn got through. Shout out to the person that yelled, "Don't yawn," during the pregame show. They clearly have emphasized it, and it's really worked out for them, because they are a definite, very tough team. I think you could say going into the Super Bowl, they are the tougher team, and the Chiefs are a pretty tough team themselves. So, speaking of the Chiefs, I thought Nick's answer to this on being an underdog was... Like, he's trying to act like he doesn't care, but you listen to this and you tell me he doesn't care. So here's Nick being asked about the fact that the Eagles are, I think, still 1.5-point underdogs on the BetParks app. So yeah, 1.5-point underdogs to the Kansas City Chiefs.
Listed as an underdog. Now, that could change, but it hasn't yet. Are you getting, you know, some coaches use that as a rallying cry. Do you plan on using that as a rallying cry with your guys?
No, we don't care about that. We don't care about that.
You're very confident in your team, basically, and that's an external that just is irrelevant to you. That was my expectation of what you would answer. Is that a fair way to put it?
That's a fair way to put it.
I think you can hear when he goes like, no, like, he cares. You can't tell me he doesn't care. From my time being around Nick, my time being around this team, you cannot tell me he does not care they're underdogs. I'm not saying, like, obviously he believes in his team, and obviously it's all about them and blah, 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 blah. You're telling me a guy as competitive as Nick and a quarterback as competitive as Jalen in a locker room that is tough, they don't care they're underdogs? They're not going to use that as motivation? I know Nick uses that type of stuff as motivation, and I'm sure he will say it to his players. He can say he won't, but I would be pretty surprised if he didn't. So I think it is something that they should embrace. It is something that they should definitely use as motivation. They're not heavy underdogs or anything like that, but a 1.5-point spread, that is an underdog still. So I don't believe him that he doesn't care about being an underdog. I think he cares about being an underdog. So I thought this question from Richie was a really good question. And it had, you know, it wasn't something I had considered, but I think there's truth to it. Here's Richie asking Nick how he's gotten better at motivating his players.
Do you feel like you've improved at motivating your team, your guys, and how do you consistently get this response, this emotional response from your players at the start of every game? They come out ready to play.
Yeah, I think you get better at everything if you're really working on everything, and you have and if you're realistic with yourself and say, hey, I need to get better here, and you always can get better, as you guys know. You're always looking for ways to get better. And so, you know, my constant message to the team is, how are we getting better this week? You know, and that's always through toughness, detail together, is what we talk about a lot. And I guess if I'm asking them to do that, I better be getting better myself. And so, yeah, I think so. That's my goal, and that's my mission, is to always get better at that. I've spent spent a lot of time looking at different things, and these guys are self-motivated too. They really are. Like, these guys want this thing bad, and I'm telling them the truth of football. Again, hey, the toughest team's going to win. Mental, physical, and who plays with great effort. Hey, the team that plays with great detail with their fundamentals and their situational football and being on the same page is going to win. Hey, the closest team together is going to win. And so you just find different ways of saying that over and over and over again, and to motivate what you want the culture to be. But at the end of the day, it's not the words, it's your actions that get your culture. It's your habits and your actions. So, hopefully I've gotten better at that. That's always my goal. And, again, at the end of the day, we're preaching the truths of football that were true. When you played, right, they're true when my dad played, they're going to be true when my sons play and when my grandsons play. So, which I don't have yet. So, but, that's the truth of football. And, I think that everyone, when they really look at it, the best teams they've been on have been tough. They've been detailed and they've been together.
So it's tough to say if he has gotten better at it. I mean, they won 11 games last year, and I know the collapse happened, but I don't think at the end it happened because of a lack of motivation. I think it was like anger and tired. Like, I just don't know if it wasn't that his message wasn't getting through, because we've seen this year his message is getting through big time, right? So for the most part, since Nick's been here, his message has pretty much gotten through all the time. But when you talk about like motivating his players, I think Nick is excellent at it. Players talk time and time again about the messages in meetings and just how he uses different things, like a commercial with Kobe from a bunch of years ago. Or, I think Dallas Goedert said he used a story about picking up after your dog on the sidewalk. Like, he will use all types of things. And yeah, this is a very motivated, message-filled team. This team loves a good message. Jalen loves it. Nick loves it. AJ loves it, obviously, reading motivational books. Like, they very much enjoy being motivated by these things. And I think Nick is perfect for that. So just thought it was an interesting answer, and I wanted to play that for you guys. So on the other side, I got a few names here that I think are probably like the basic names when you think of who could replace Kellen Moore. So I just wanted to give some thoughts on all of them. So on the other side, a look at some potential replacements for Kellen Moore. Okay, so we will talk about replacements for Kellen Moore probably a bunch, because I doubt it's a quick hire. I'd be surprised if they promoted from within. We'll talk about one potential option from promoting from within. But I think that we'll probably be talking about who's going to replace Kellen Moore. So obviously there's a Super Bowl to worry about. There are other things. But like I said, today's a deep breath podcast, even potentially a yawning podcast. It's a time to refocus, take a little break from the Super Bowl. So let's talk about some potential replacements for Kellen Moore. So the obvious one, and I mentioned this to James when we talked about it, is Frank Reich. He checks kind of every box that you want. Maybe not every box, but he checks a lot of them. He checks the experience box, and I do think they'll go with an experienced coordinator. After going with a first-year coordinator in 2023, and look, Nick's a better head coach than he was then. He's a year older, a year more experienced, all those things. But I think they know they need an experienced coordinator with Nick. And Frank Reich definitely checks that box. He's been a head coach. He's been a coordinator. He won a Super Bowl here as a coordinator. He's worked with Nick. I think Frank is a very safe choice. The only issue I would have with the Frank Reich hire is I don't know what Frank's bringing that Nick doesn't already bring from a schematic standpoint. I think the nice thing about Kellen Moore is he hadn't really worked with Nick. So there was fresh ideas. They didn't know each other. They had different... I just think there was a newness to it. Like, hiring Frank Reich, to me, would feel like when Doug promoted Mike Groh to offensive coordinator. Like, yeah, I get it, and he probably deserved it, but that wasn't, like, a special or exciting move. Like, Frank Reich would kind of feel like hiring from within. Now, if they win the Super Bowl, Nick probably is going to have way more sway, and maybe he'd want Frank. I don't know. I don't even know if Frank wants to coach anymore. But Frank Reich, as a former head coach, like, he could do the, like, control the side of the ball thing that Kellen did. So I think that would be a positive. I just wonder if their schemes are too similar since Nick learned from Frank, where you're just not getting a fresh set of eyes on the offense. He wasn't here. I just don't know if, like, Frank is great at building a quarterback around a skill set like Jalen's, and I don't think he'd bring new ideas. So I get it, but I wouldn't like love the hire. The hire I would really be excited about is Josh McCown. Obviously checks a lot of boxes like Kellen Moore did. Now, he's never called plays. I mean, I guess you could say he has as a quarterback. But he was the quarterback coach in Minnesota this year. We all saw what he did with Sam Darnold. He's gotten head coach interviews. I think he's somebody that could come here and be a head coach like this time next year. So like with Frank Reich, he's probably just staying here. He's not getting another head coaching job. Josh McCown could be gone in a year. So he would check that box of like exciting young hire, fresh set of eyes, new ideas, good resume. I'd be in on a Josh McCown hire. You would just have to accept that a year from now, he's probably gone if they have the type of year that I think everyone would expect him to have next year. And Josh clearly wants to be a head coach. So I think he would be gone in a year if you hired Josh McCown. Next up, this would be the promote from within option. Kevin Petullo, so I don't think they will choose him, but he makes sense if they're going to promote from within. Like Aaron Moorhead, potentially as the receiver coach, he's been here a few years, I could see it. Jamal Singleton's done an awesome job. I could see him being mentioned as a potential replacement if they promote from within. I don't think that Stoutland at this point probably wants to be an offensive coordinator, and he certainly doesn't want to call plays, I would guess, but he has the type of resume and clout that if he was like, I want it, it'd probably be hard for them to say no. I just don't think he'd have interest. So I just think Kevin Petullo's always been with Nick, right-hand man. He would be the best option probably. I'd probably go him, Jamal Singleton, Moorhead, and then Stoutland would be how I would. I just think the quarterback coach, Nussmeier, I think he's probably going with Kellen Moore as the offensive coordinator. So I think they're probably losing him if I had to guess. Not to mention his son plays at LSU. So you go to New Orleans, you're closer. Yeah, so I think Nussmeier would probably go with Kellen Moore. So Kevin Petullo would be the promote from within candidate. Next up to outside the building guys, Bobby Slowick, fired by the Texans, but at one point took head coaching interviews. He was someone I really liked last year when we were talking about potentially if they were going to move on from Nick. Like, calls plays, did a great job with CJ Stroud his rookie year. I think probably just got a bad situation this past season. Stock down guy. So maybe there's something going on there that we don't know about, where maybe he's not easy to work with. Maybe he actually doesn't have all these new ideas. But if they do have to interview guys, I would definitely interview Bobby Slowick. I think getting a chance to interview him would be good. So the last one, and this is a name I would definitely keep an eye on, Marcus Brady. So he worked with the Eagles during the 2022 season. He's currently the pass game coordinator for the Chargers, and he worked with Nick in Indianapolis. So he's been in the building. He knows Nick. He's a pass game coordinator. I think Marcus Brady checks a few boxes for sure in terms of not a completely like hire from within guy, because he doesn't currently work there. But I also think a fresh set of eyes, where there's some familiarity, he's young. I think Marcus Brady would be an interesting hire for sure. So look, this is probably the last non-Super Bowl thing we're going to talk about for 3 weeks. So hope you enjoyed it. It was nice to, nice for 5 or 10 minutes not to think about the Super Bowl. But now you can go back to thinking about it. We'll hear from players today. All types of exciting things coming up. And we're getting a day closer to being in New Orleans and the Super Bowl hysteria really starting. So thank you guys so much for listening. As always, he's Elliot, I'm James. Talk to you guys later.